Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about a really fun subject tonight called A Merry Heart Does Good Like a Medicine.
Yay!
Hallelujah. And this is one of my favorite subjects. If you don't know me, then you know I love to laugh. I had made a list when I was single of all the things that I wanted in a husband. And one of the top ones was love God with all his heart. And would be a hearer and doer of the Lord. And then I knew that he would love me really, really well because he'd be loving me with God's agape love. And then I wanted a guy that had a really good sense of humor and loves to laugh. But I think I prayed too hard in that area because he likes to tease me and play jokes on me, but fun jokes, not bad jokes. And so I thank God that I got the answer to my prayers. And why is that important? Because when we go through hard things in life, we need to encourage ourselves or have someone else help us be encouraged too. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so if you're ever spending the night at our house as a sleepover and hear me laughing in the middle of the night, it's his fault, okay? So let's go to A. God's supernatural medicine is healing for our hearts. Wow. Anybody been diagnosed with cardiovascular challenges? Anybody been diagnosed with blood pressure challenges? Anybody been diagnosed with osteoporosis, arthritis, cancer challenges, any kind of bone density challenges, and any kind of diagnosis at all? God has a remedy. Proverbs 17:22, he's got lots of remedies, but I love this one in particular. And the New King James Version says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You know, we never looked at that literally, but we've ministered to thousands of people and seen that this was a case and ministered joy of the Lord to them, and they got their healing. And we notice that when someone is attacked with illness, the first thing Satan does is steal their joy and they become a sourpuss. You ever notice that? I don't know, maybe not this congregation has seen that, but I've seen it at other places. And you know, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Is that weird? It takes more effort to be negative. It takes more energy to think of the worst scenario. It takes less energy to believe the word of God. But we weren't taught that way. It's like we've got to renew our minds. And it really isn't hard to receive God's word, hear it, and do it. But a lot of times we hear it, and our faith is growing because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. But then the walking it out, the practicum of it, the operating in it isn't always easy. True? But we're going to keep on keeping on, right? Let's see what it says in the Complete Jewish Bible version of Proverbs 17:22. Number two, a happy heart is good medicine. See, God's medicine is good. It doesn't come from pharmaceuticals. It's not made up by man, right? But low spirits sap one's strength. You ever been attacked by a flu virus and your body felt so weak you could hardly get out of bed and then your legs felt like noodles? You know, you ever had a fever that broke and then afterwards you're just, you know, the person's challenged to be dehydrated? Anybody got bad news of grief, of a death, and then they felt challenged to be depressed or saddened, and they felt like, you know, they had this helium balloon and someone popped the balloon and all the helium went out? Well, God wants to give you what his remedy is. His merriness, His cheerfulness, His joy. Amen. Proverbs 17:22 in the Living Bible says, "A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones." So your mind and your heart have to work together. Your mind has to acknowledge what the heart is feeling. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So when the devil comes to attack you, and he attacks your heart, and sometimes your emotions, sometimes you might have a challenging day, and someone might feel a little despondent. Or if you're going through a lot of struggles, and you're like, "God, not one more struggle, please." I don't know if you've ever been through that, you know, been there, but I've been there, done that. And I continue to get victory in areas of my life. And it just seems like sometimes when you get another victory, you get slapped with something else. I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be a little discouraging to be like, "Can I at least have a break?" You know? And so tonight we're going to get a break.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You've been fighting the good fight of faith out there, and you keep on keeping on. Do not be weary in well-doing, but tonight God wants to refresh us. Amen? We're going to encourage each other in the Lord. Let's go to letter B. Make time to enjoy life and laugh. You got to do it. You know, "I don't have time to relax. I don't have time to go enjoy this or that." And then, have you ever gone to an event? And after the event, people asked you, "How was it?" And you said, "It was great. I had a really good time." And usually, if you rewind the video of your thoughts, it's because people were laughing, enjoying each other, enjoying you, celebrating you, not just tolerating you, and had good food too. Right? You ever gone to some place where the food is awful? Mm-mm. And James and I, we're invited by a family member to go to a restaurant. We won't tell you what kind of restaurant, but it was a restricted diet type of thing, and we wanted to honor this person, and so went to enjoy what this person likes. And the whole restaurant, I mean, a big restaurant, because there's not too many of them around, they were all quiet, not even looking at each other, not conversing, and just eating. And then when we tried the food, we could see why nobody was laughing. You know what I mean? So we're like, okay. So after we ate our dinner, we dropped the person off, and then we said, "Let's go eat and go to In-N-Out now." Someplace happy. And we got in there, and everyone was, having a good time. We went, "See? Everyone's having a good time here because they enjoy the food." Makes a big difference, does it not? Okay. So you have to make time. And if you ever have had a hard day and someone came and cheered you up, it was like fresh water in a drought, was it not? And then think about how many times have you been that fresh water to someone else? I hope you weren't the prune that made them more sour. You know, we have to reciprocate. Let's try to be a blessing and give more joy to others, as we have been so refreshed when we've received. Amen? Amen. You never know if that's the day they need it. And if they don't need it, it sure is nice to get more. Amen?
Amen.
So there's a time to weep, and then God will provide a time to laugh afterwards because of healing and restoration. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance, according to Ecclesiastes 3:4. But he specifies there's a time. And so we can make that time. We can go to the Lord and say, we don't have to dump all our problems on him. Come on, let's go enjoy God. Let's see that part of him. He loves to laugh. He loves to watch his people enjoy what he has for them and his blessings. But let's not always just be complaining. You know, let's just go to him and love him. Tell him something great about our day. You know, I know he knows the praise report because he made it, but we can at least be thanking him for it. You know what I mean? All right. Let's change our attitudes with God and with each other and step it up another notch so that we become someone that is heaping medicine upon someone else of God's medicine, of his joy and merriness, making their heart glad. And it makes us glad because what we sow, we shall reap. Amen? So we're on B2. All the days of the desponding and afflicted are made evil, according to Proverbs 15:15, Amplified Classic. Desponding, despondent, depressed, afflicted, tormented, or by anxious thoughts, anxiety is a form of worry. And forebodings is something that has not happened yet, but you're scared it will. That's a torment. But he who has a glad heart, see, if you had gladness in your heart, you wouldn't give in to anxiety. You wouldn't give in to forebodings. You wouldn't give in to despondency or affliction or torment. You would be having a continual feast regardless of circumstances. What's the feast? The joy of the Lord. Why? Because nothing of the enemy shall by any means harm you. Hello, I would be jumping for that. Right? But if he's beating up somebody, the devil's beating up somebody, they're not going to be too happy about that. So let's put him back under our feet and he's defeated and we're going to jump for joy. Amen. Amen? Amen? So number three, we rejoice in the Lord always. That is not a suggestion according to Philippians 4:4. Always. No matter what's hitting you. No matter what storm of life is coming. No matter how bad it looks. And trust me, we have lots of opportunities for the devil to stick that in our face. But we're going to remind him and stick the word of God back into his face. And he's going to think we're weird. Look it! He's going to say, you have no money to pay for your house this month. And you know how you respond? He said, that person's weird. I'm going to bother somebody else. Why are we laughing? Because we know it's a lie. Amen. We know that God is our provider. Yeah. Right? Yes. My God has already supplied all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I don't care what the circumstances look like. I'm going to laugh at the devil. I'm going to laugh at the circumstances. I'm going to allow God's joy to be my strength. Because if not, guess what's going to attack? Despondency, affliction, foreboding, torment. Get it? We're calling those things that are not as though they already are because they are in the spirit. All you're doing is receiving it. Through the gladness in your heart, reminding yourself that your Heavenly Father already provided it for you and it's yours and it's got your name on it. So again, you say rejoice again. So then the devil tries to come back, he's going to see you're laughing still and he's going to go, she's still weird. I'm going to go bug somebody else. We have got to turn things around because the time is close at hand. And we have to be strong Christians in our minds, in our hearts, in our bodies, in our faith, in everything that we do. So we need to be literalists and do what the word says. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to rejoice again and again and again and again. Doesn't matter what trials are facing me, it's strengthening me. Because it gives my God another opportunity to show me how big he is in my life. Amen? Amen. When there is no way, I say, okay, praise the Lord. I get to see another miracle now. Ha ha. Right? Yeah. Okay. Number four. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Psalm 126:2, New King James. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Why were their mouths filled with laughter? They remembered the anchors to their soul. What? They're testimonies of all the things that God has already done and all the things that he's doing and all the things he will continue to do. That's going to make you rejoice. Don't think about the problem staring you in the face. That will cause someone to be low in their spirit, right? But we rejoice when we see all the stuff that God has already done. And there's, how many can raise a hand here and say, God has done amazing things in my life? Only God could have done it. Two hands went up. Hallelujah. Let's concentrate on that when the devil throws something in our face that seems impossible. Okay? C, God's supernatural joy gives you strength. Number one, we're going to do different translations of Nehemiah 8:10, one of my favorite verses in the New King James. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you know that there's a lot of times where I've been very, very challenged to be sleep deprived because I had so much on my plate of workload, had to get up super, super duper earlier than normal, went to bed super, super later than normal. And so it was like, I don't even have time to go by Starbucks, but I have to get on the freeway and I have to get to the workplace and I have to get to where I need to go. And so I would just start, in the name of Jesus, joy of the Lord is my strength. In the name of Jesus, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In the name of Jesus, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the Lord is like, you're going a little over the speed limit. You got too much strength there. Oh, and back off, you know, because really I was getting revved up and I didn't need external stimulants. I just was relying on God and his strength. And that's what I used all day long, the word. I mean, it was amazing. It really works. The word works if we work the word. Number two, in the Good News translation, it says, the joy that the Lord gives you will make you strong. He's already given you that joy, the joy of our salvation. But what we got to do is tap into it. We got to extract it and bring it up as we need it, okay? And number three, the Amplified Classic says, and be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and what? Stronghold. You cannot be moved if you are standing in that joy of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And let's go to D in the New King James Version, Psalm 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, Lord. We're talking to God. So it's talking about God's salvation. Lord, restore to me that joy. Give to me back that first love. When I first got saved, I was so excited about God. I wanted to spend every minute in church that the doors were open. I was reading my Bible morning, noon, and night. I just couldn't wait to get into my prayer time. And then life started dwindling away the time I had with God. And then I noticed that when I was going through some trials, that I didn't have any joy. And, you know, one day someone said, you should remind your face what's in your heart. I said, what? The joy of your salvation? And I'm like, oh, it means that I wasn't exemplifying joy. Why? Because I was angry about a situation. I was sad about a situation. I was upset about a situation. And thank God for my husband. You know, I can't even stay mad at that guy if I tried. He just makes me laugh. And then when I start laughing, of course, then I have to start forgiving, you know. And I really appreciate that because it helps get me out of whatever was trying to press me down. And then I can get out of it and put the devil back where he belongs. Amen. But if you don't have somebody to do that for you, you don't think you do, you do. If you think you live alone, you don't live alone. You live with three people, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let one of them help you. You just got to talk to them. You just got to spend time with them. And if your spouse isn't around and you can't, you know, rely on that person, encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen? And tonight, he's restoring unto each one of us that joy of your salvation. He told me that he's seen people working very, very hard in their faith. There's been a lot of things that you've been facing. And tonight he's giving us a refreshing, a restoration of that joy. Amen. And I bet you people won't even need to come up and get hands laid on them. Why? Because there's healing in the joy of the Lord. There is healing. There's deliverance in his glory. There's everything that we need. You know, there was a secular man, and I studied him when I was in university, and it was a famous case of terminal illness. And the doctors told this man in the hospital, he was in the hospital for months and months and months. He could not leave because he was so weak. And, you know, they had to hook him up to tubes and this and that and whatever. And they said that he was just going to die. There was nothing they could do to cure him. So they called it incurable disease. And this is a secular person who, to my knowledge, never got saved. But when somebody taps in to the Word of God and uses it and applies their faith, it can work for them. How much more will the Word of God work for us who are true believers with the Spirit of God inside of us? Amen. Okay? So what did he do? He said, well, I might as well just watch a whole bunch of comedies. So, you know, I'm in this like depressing place. So they had him bring in those days like videos of like the old time black and white TV comedies. And he would watch them day and night, day and night, day and night, and just be laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laugh some more and laugh some more. The nurses would come in, laugh with him. And then they would do his intermittent exams to see how much longer he would have, because they expected him to die in a couple of weeks. No trace of infirmity in his body at all. Absolutely cured by laughter. Now, why aren't Christians taking advantage of the joy that we have within us? The joy of our salvation. So let's go to E, letter E. God's happy hormones, that's what I call them, are good for us. What happened to this patient? As he was laughing, one of the ways to emit these happy hormones that I call them, they're endorphins. When you release these by laughter, you can also do it by running, by exercising, so people get a runner's high. That's why people sometimes get addicted to working out, but you know, usually it helps them feel better as well. But laughing is one of the main ways. You can tell that laughter is my main method, not the exercising yet. But anyway, I'm getting there. And endorphins released by laughter inhibits pain, stimulates euphoria, and is healing to the body. So let God's joy and happiness saturate your life through laughter continually. Now, I didn't know this about endorphins. You know, you heard about the opioid epidemic, that there's doctors that were over-prescribing some pain relievers. And a lot of, you know, morphine is very addictive. And then they started making it into pills. And so people would get addicted to that because their pain was so great, they wanted to not feel it anymore. Well, do you know that endorphins are natural opioids? It's a natural morphine that God created your body to absolutely get rid of pain, make you feel better, and it actually takes away the poisons that's in your system. Do you know that when you get angry, when you get offended, when you get hurt, when you have unforgiveness, and every time you get angry at somebody, you release poisons into your system that could kill the body. And it creates sickness and disease. And every time that you have the joy of the Lord, and you laugh, and you praise the Lord, and you worship God, because praise is a form of releasing those endorphins, and so is laughter. You release healing into your body. And it not only gets rid of physical pain, but emotional pain when you tap into the joy of the Lord. You tap into a healing source of a secondary method of praising God through laughter, because God created us to laugh. God created us to have joy. God wants us to be able to release what was put inside of us, given for us, so that we could worship Him, praise Him, and at the end of it, the result is healing. Because you're in the presence of our mighty God, where there is no sickness, there is no pain, there is no heartache or brokenness, there is no fear, there is nothing negative but love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faith, self-control, humility. God is just showering on us right now all these wonderful fruit of the Spirit. He's just giving you back the joy of your salvation, reminding you what it was like of your first love. He is strengthening you right now as you're thinking of Him with gladness in your heart. You know, it's important to remember all the things that, people come to you and they might ask of you, like it says in 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready always to give an answer to every person that asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. And sometimes people ask very odd questions. You know, they might ask, what do you think was the time of day that Adam was created? You know, and some people might think, well, I think a little bit before Eve. And then, you know, somebody else might come up and say, why didn't Noah play cards on the ark? He was so bored. Because he was standing on the deck. So these little things, you know, when people ask you things, be ready and just wanting to know how to have fun with them. What was different about Adam than the rest of the human race? Think. Two things. He didn't have a belly button, had no ancestors. So when we meet Adam in heaven, I think we'll recognize the guy that has no belly button, okay? I remember one time that we had gone to a movie theater, and my mother's mother, she was a very assertive person. She was also very short. And so we were sitting down. In those days, it was quite a bit of money to take a whole family to the movies, you know. And so there's this lady sitting in front of us, and she has on, it looks like a big hat. And she said, lady, could you please take your hat off? I can't see the screen. And the lady just sat there and didn't do anything. And she looks at me, she goes, will you tell that lady to take off her hat? I said, Grandma, you just told her. Well, I was like 5 years old. Why didn't you tell her again? I went up to her and she goes, you tell her. Excuse me, ma'am, would you mind taking off your hat? She didn't turn around. She didn't budge. She didn't do a thing. Finally, my grandmother said, well, if you're not going to take off your hat, I'll just take it off for you. And she pulled the hat off, and it was a wig. It was all plastered, nothing underneath. And we were all laughing, and the people were all laughing, and she was embarrassed. She said, I am so sorry. And she put it back on, and then it was crooked. My little brother was like 4 years old. He laughed so hard. He was in the end seat. He fell out his seat and started rolling down the aisle. And all of the movie theater was laughing more at him than what was up on the screen. And I said, Grandma, that was the funniest thing I have ever seen. So if you go to the theater and someone has a hat on, do not take that person's hat off. Just change seats. What's the moral of the story? Just have fun wherever you go. I remember one time my parents, you know, they were praying for a believing with them for healing of their hearing. And so my mom, she said, I think there's someone knocking at the door. I'm going to go to the door. And my dad says, you're going to the store? Great. I need some of these more. More of these. She goes, what are you talking about? And I'm looking at him like, I don't have to go to the movie theaters for comedy. I just have to stay right home. There's so many things that happen in life, you know what I mean? That you just get a chuckle out of, and you just remember some of the fun things that you have done in your life or done with other people. Except for we're trying to get away from, you know, those jokes that might demean someone or hurt somebody, and just changing our whole demeanor of how we see things. You know what I mean? I mean, like someone will say, oh, well, how did Moses make his coffee? He brews it. I'm like, oh, that one's a cute one. Or, you know, like one of the shortest people in the Bible, Nehemiah. But then when that wasn't so bad, you know, when he thought he was really short, but then he met Bildad the shoe height. So he thought that someone could finally look up to him. Okay. And so did you hear about that atheists now have a prayer line that you could call into? The problem is no one answers. It just keeps ringing and ringing and ringing because there's nobody there answering their prayers. And, you know, my husband, he said, you know, atheists are complaining they don't have a holiday on the whole calendar. There's Christmas, there's Resurrection Day, there's, you know, all these other holidays. And so they went to the judge and said, we demand that we have a legal holiday. And so the judge said, well, the Bible says a man is a fool in his heart if he doesn't believe in God. So April Fool's Day, that's your holiday. So, we have a lot of fun with just laughing, joking, and God just wanted to remind your face to show the joy that's in your heart and have a good time tonight, laughing, remembering all the good things that God has done. And now I just want you to close your eyes and raise your hands to God and thank him for the wonderful things that he has done in your life, the things that you could rejoice again and again and again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I rejoice at what you've done in each of our lives. I thank you and I praise you and I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I praise you. Thank you, Lord, for restoring the joy of our salvation, our first love. Thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you that a merry heart does good like a medicine. And thank you for a wonderful medicine that we're receiving tonight. And go home with this heart full of joy and merriness and cheerfulness. And all the endorphins are just taking away pain and removing toxins and illness and sickness and just going throughout all of our body right now. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've created us just wonderful creatures in Christ Jesus. And we receive all that you have for us. We praise you. We glorify you. We worship you. Thank you for your anointing, breaking every yoke of bondage of depression, discouragement, breaking yokes of bondage of pain, physically, emotionally, in the soul, getting rid of all the dryness in the bones, getting rid of arthritis, osteoporosis, bone density challenges, joint challenges, cardiovascular challenges. Thank you, Lord, for restoring our strength and restoring cheerfulness to our mind. Thank you, Lord God, that we are not despondent or afflicted, that we are not tormented because we're loving, forgiving people with no anxiety, no forebodings. We thank you, Lord God, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. And we allow your anointing to go from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, breaking every yoke of sickness and illness and diagnosis, every pain, every challenge in our mind, in our heart, in our brain, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Praise you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you in spirit and in truth. The truth is we are the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, for making each of our hearts merry with joy. We thank you, Lord, that you've made our merry heart. It is good like a medicine, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I don't think we're done with this yet. You ready? The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 If you want joy, you must clap for it. If you want joy, you must clap for it. If you want joy, you must clap for it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 If you want joy, you must hop for it. If you want joy, you must hop for it. If you want joy, you must hop for it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Sit on attack. Sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Where? Sit on attack to stay. Woo! Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. We can just see him with his disciples prophesying to them, letting them in on the secret of what he was going to be doing for them and for us. Because in the 17th chapter of John, the Gospel of John, he talks about all of those believers who are to follow, and that includes us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you looked ahead and you saw us too, as you proclaimed this to your disciples that were sitting there with you. You saw us in the spirit. You knew we were coming. You knew the sacrifice was for us too. And by the stripes that you took upon your back, those 39 stripes, we have been healed and made well and made whole and restored and rejuvenated and recreated where necessary. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we receive joyfully and gratefully of your broken body to receive our wholeness together now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And in the same manner, after the supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." No more covering over, no more annual sacrifice. Jesus, you were the once for all sacrifice, and you wiped the slate clean with your blood. You washed away every one of our sins, past, present, future, known and unknown, all washed away by the precious blood of Jesus into the sea of forgetfulness. We thank you, Lord, that your blood sealed the old covenant and established the new, better, and everlasting covenant with your blood. How wonderful, how awesome, all for us, Lord Jesus. You loved us so much. And because you loved us, we love you. And we are so joyful and so grateful at all that belongs to us. We rejoice and we celebrate as we partake together.